ask me, the plan to privatize air traffic control sounds like putting a fox in charge of the airline henhouse. All of this would create real turbulence for consumers.
That's Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on Sunday saying President Trump's plan to privatize air traffic control would give airlines too much power over costs. President Trump wants to transform the air traffic control system into a private nonprofit organization, taking control away from the Federal Aviation Administration. The system employs 35,000 people. It oversees 50,000 flights a day. Good morning. I'm K-Dr. Kent in for the Joy Cardine Show. Our government budget's holding back America's air traffic control system. What happens if a 13-member board would control the air traffic control system? Sally Greenberg joins us. She's executive director of the National Consumers League, and she wrote a column last week for USA Today. It was titled, On Air Traffic Control, Don't Let Airlines Dupe Passengers. Sally, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Well, before we get into your take on this issue, explain to us how this privatization would work.
Well, what the airlines are proposing is the air traffic control system would be handed over to a nonprofit corporation that would be run by a private board of directors heavily influenced by the commercial airlines. They would essentially control this nonprofit operation. And the board itself would have far-reaching powers to raise taxes and fees on consumers while operating with little or no congressional funding, oversight, or public accountability. And that very public accountability has really been a hallmark of the aviation transportation system for decades.
And you hint at the issues here in your definition of what would go on. Why are you opposed to the president's plan to do this?
Well, we have a very well-functioning air traffic control system today, and it has seen significant improvements. Many of the delays and problems at the airline site have to do with the airlines and their scheduling problems, their computer glitches, their failure to get proper crews in place to fly at the time that they're designated to fly, not the FAA's air traffic control system. So we don't see the system as broken. We also are, you know, we're consumer advocates. We want the public to be able to weigh in on what happens with air traffic control and what kinds of investments are made. They should be public investments. And we're very concerned that the airlines themselves have shown themselves to be fairly poor stewards of public trust, and we can get into that in a moment. But we testified a month or two ago in front of the Senate Commerce Committee on airlines their seemingly unobstructed obsession with profits, always trying to squeeze every dime out of the flying public. And we worry that you turn an air traffic control system over to them where they have the powers to tax and impose fees on consumers, we'll just be seeing more of the same. And as you know, airlines are not terribly popular right now with the flying public.
Well, Sally, you know, if you're saying that the airline industry is running a pretty sophisticated system, certainly air traffic control, we've heard, is running in the dark ages, using ground-based radar, not GPS, using actual paper sometimes to communicate with colleagues. Certainly something has to be done here to bring air traffic control. We heard about Next Gen, this system. What is holding back air traffic control system from being modernized then?
Well, actually, according to GAO reports and other reports that have been designated to study the issue, the air traffic control system is on course to meet the goals that were set for it in federal legislation by 2025. The next gen aviation systems, which will give them more sophisticated radar, et cetera, they have seen significant improvements over the last few years, and they are according to reports, outside reports, they are on course to improve those systems. The problem is we really have to ask ourselves, do we want to put a air traffic control system? By the way, the Department of Defense has expressed grave concerns about this. They did so in January in a report, turning this our air traffic control over to a system controlled largely by the airlines. They're concerned because of command and control, and because there's a lot of, as you might imagine, the airspace is a security issue, and we want to make sure that that is in the hands of people who actually know what they're doing when it comes to security, and that we can secure, you know, the airspace in and around our cities, et cetera. So the Department of Defense expressed very serious concerns about allowing that whole system to become privatized and in the hands of the airlines. So, but I think the modernization, I think that that's sort of been debunked, the idea that the Federal Aviation Administration and the air traffic control are not moving along on par with what they're supposed to be doing. I think that we've seen significant improvements in that, and I think that we're that's been thrown out there as a reason to go to privatization. And we don't see it. We think that they have not made their case.
We're talking right now with Sally Greenberg. She's executive director of the National Consumers League. She wrote a column last week in USA Today titled "On Air Traffic Control, Don't Let Airlines Dupe Passengers." You can add your voice to this discussion on whether air traffic control should be privatized. 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to President Trump's plan to privatize air traffic controllers? Is this a good plan to help the FAA modernize air traffic control? Weigh in. 800-642-1234. You can post your thoughts on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sally, USA Today's editorial board, it wrote that concerns about cost warrant some justification. In addition to higher fees, it noted that the new board would also hold sway over decisions involving noisy air traffic routes over homes and air service to rural areas. What are your biggest concerns regarding those areas, those aspects?
Yeah, well, you know, in a state like Wisconsin has to pay attention to that, because there are, there are many rural areas of the state that are probably not getting the kind of service that they once did. We've seen millions of flights reduced because of airline consolidation. So areas, more rural areas, are certain to be hit hard by a privatization scheme. We also, to an earlier point, we don't think that it's appropriate to trust the airlines to manage air traffic control when they really haven't been able to manage their own internal systems and security against cybersecurity threats. For example, in the past 2 years, there have been 21 major disruptions to airline operations due to technological failures. The other point that the airlines like to say, well, we're gonna put modernization, you know, on the make it a high priority, and we're gonna adapt and bring in all kinds of new technologies. What the data showed that U.S. and Canadian airlines are projected to spend only 3% of their revenue on information technology this year, compared to 8% by banks and 4% by healthcare firms. In other words, they're not making the investments themselves in information technology and cybersecurity and modernization. So why would we trust them to set up this nonprofit, so-called nonprofit, although they can, you know, they can post fees and taxes to their heart's content if this is set, if this private entity is set up.
Let's hold on here. Let's discuss fees here in a moment. But first, I want to go back to rural airports for a moment. Would rural airports have a seat at the table in this 13-member board?
Well, it's unclear who's going to have a seat at the table at this 13-member board. You know, there's no designation for anyone from the public entity. You know, consumer advocates on the board. It's largely going to be controlled by the airlines. So let me talk for a moment about rural access to air traffic and air service for rural communities.
And I'm going to jump in here, Sally, and we're going to have a little break here, and we're going to jump back in with you on the rural airports issue. Most anyone who flies regularly knows the aggravation involved in getting from one city to another on time. Air travelers would think there must be a better way to get flights in and out of the nation's airports. The plan put forth by President Trump last week looks to privatize the job, but it's getting criticism, some calling it an airline power grab. Sally Greenberg is discussing this with us. She's executive director of the National Consumers League. You can join in the discussion, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news on the Ideas Network. President Trump held a ceremony last week promoting a plan to privatize our country's air traffic control system. He said it would make travel easier and less expensive for most Americans. The plan involves creating a nonprofit organization to run air traffic control at the nation's airports, taking this control away from the Federal Aviation Administration. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Good morning. In for the Joy Cardine Show. How do you feel about this proposal to have air traffic decisions governed by a nonprofit board? Join in the discussion, 800-642-1234, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest, Sally Greenberg, stays with us. She's executive director of the National Consumers League. Sally, where we left off our conversation was on rural airports. What's your concern here about rural airports and air traffic control going to a nonprofit board?
Well, we have to look at the record on how rural communities have been treated by the airlines in their quest to consolidate. We have four major airlines now controlling about 80% of the traffic. And as a result, we have seen, according to the General Accountability Office, they changed their name a few years ago, approximately 1.2 million scheduled domestic flights eliminated between 2007 and 2013 at large, medium, and small hub and non-hub airports. Scheduled departures at medium hub airports decreased nearly 24% between 2007 and 2013, and about 20% at small hub airports over the same period. So, in other words, if it's not as profitable to do to fly into smaller, medium-sized airports, the airlines make decisions that affect their own bottom line, and they're extremely profitable these days. Their profits have soared into the many billions of dollars because of fees. As anyone who flies, and I fly regularly, and I fly usually once a week, you see that you are being nickel and dimed for absolutely every service, every seat, every pillow, every bit of food that you may want to consume, every piece of baggage, and so it's this quest to strive for greater and greater profitability, and we worry about what that means for smaller and medium sized communities.
So if you cut flights, if you cut flights in rural areas, it would mean less air traffic control needs.
But it also means that that these parts of the country that very much need for their economic prosperity to have access to the airlines and to have flights coming in and out. It's interesting, Kate, because there was a recent study that we cited in our testimony at the Senate Commerce Committee about a month and a half ago. We testified on May 4th. If anybody wants to go to the Commerce Committee site, there's a lot of interesting testimony there from the airlines as well. But we cited a study that showed that if communities do not have robust airline service, that very much hurts their economic development prospects, because companies want to be in communities that have really good air service. They're flying their people in and out of the city. And one example is AT&T relocated to Dallas, if memory serves, from San Antonio, because they just couldn't get good air service.
Well,
and we cited that in our testimony, and I think that will affect Wisconsin as well.
Well, let's take a call now. Michael in Milwaukee. Hi, Michael.
Morning. I have a question and a comment. First of all, the question, what would happen to the current air traffic controllers? Would they be folded into this new company or organization, or would they all be replaced? That's the question. The comment is maybe it's about time to get the government out of the airline industry and let the airline industry be a business as what it is. And if some people get hurt in the process, that's what it is. If you live in a rural area and if you don't have air service, well, that's the way it's going to be, I guess. Can't be a perfect world, but maybe it's about time to get the government out of air traffic control and let private industry take care of it, because it is a business after all.
Sally, what would happen with Michael's first part of the question? What would happen to these air traffic controllers?
Yeah, they would be rolled into a. I don't know how you know if every single air traffic controller would be guaranteed a job, but yes, they would become part of the private system. You know, I have to cite the example of the airline being extremely unpopular and doing a really rotten job, I would say, of providing customer satisfaction and service as an example of how. Yes, they are a business, and the business is now consolidated into four airlines who pick and choose which routes they want to serve. They are, you know, we saw what happened with Dr. David Dow getting dragged off a flight on United Airlines. There is very little competition for something like 60 or 70% of the routes are controlled by just one airline or two airlines. They basically, you know, cut up the country so that you have, for example, you know, coming in and out of Milwaukee or coming in and out of Minneapolis, such as I'm a Minneapolis native. I can't find direct flights back and forth for even 4 or 5 months out for under, you know, $400 or $500, because they're all controlled by Delta Airlines and there's no competition. And the airlines try to squeeze out competitors. They don't want, for example, the Gulf carriers. There are Gulf carriers who would like to come into the United States and other carriers. Norwegian Airlines is now flying in the U.S. They try to control the slots at airlines. They don't want competition. And it gives you a perspective on how, yes, they are a business, and businesses will try to maximize profits at the cost of, in this situation, if they have no competition. I'm all for business competing fairly and having, you know, robust competition. But when they prevent competitors from coming in and control, you know, largely the routes and push everyone out so that they can charge maximum prices, that's not good for American communities. That's not good for consumers. And we see all sorts of things happening with passengers that come to light, because now we have cameras with video. And we get to see what's actually happening on the ground. And I see it because I fly all the time.
Let's take another call now. And, Michael, thank you for calling in with your question. We're going to go to Patrick in Richland County. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Another good show. I'd like to ask your guest, the airline industry, you know, you got four airlines doing 80% of the business, so why don't we just have them pay for 100% of the cost, for instance? Do these airports, when you buy an airline ticket, does that pay to keep the airport open? And my question is, are there any other general tax dollars going to keep the airport open or anything to do with the airline industries? I know that the CSA workers, the TSA, I think it
TSA,
is.
TSA, uh-huh.
They're paid for by taxpayer dollars. These are, you know, if you had to pay the price on your ticket to keep all this going, the airport should have to pay property tax too, seeing they're, you know, and let it shake itself out. This business of us underwriting that never fly, and then you're talking about being gouged all the time and how terrible it is, you know. So, and do you have to fly?
Sally?
Well, there are a lot of people who have decided they, you know, if they can get someplace in 6 or 7 hours driving, they don't fly. They want to save the money and they want to save the aggravation. I've got a number of colleagues and friends who tell you that they'd rather get in the car. You know, there are user fees on your whenever you buy an airline ticket that keep the infrastructure going. We subsidize airports with taxpayer dollars. The airlines are fond of saying, oh, we don't want, you know, different carriers coming in because they're subsidized by their government. Well, you know, our American taxpayers do subsidize the airlines. But each time you buy a ticket, a small portion of that ticket, of the cost of that ticket goes to support the air traffic control system and to underwrite the cost of keeping the airports going. You know, and then there's the roads to and from airports, which have to be built by taxpayer money. So I think your guest makes a good point that we are, you know, we as the public and taxpayers are subsidizing much of what the airlines are able to do. And they get to, you know, walk away with a lot of profits these days. Really, well, a shock. Anyway.
Thank you, Patrick, for calling in with that comment about fees. Let's slow down here and look at fees for a moment, because there's been this big argument against the Trump proposal to privatize because people are worried about fees going up. What do we know about that, Sally?
Well, the problem with putting this in private hands is that as a public, we lose control over what those fees can be. And by the way, there are two examples of privatization in other countries. The UK and Canada have had rather unfortunate results. The UK privatized air traffic control system had to be bailed out, and the Canadian system needed substantial subsidies. This is this rush toward privatization doesn't always work out the way it's promised. And yes, they would be able to set fees and taxes and do so in sort of this private environment the way they do now. For example, if you buy, anybody who flies knows, you often can't get a seat unless you pay for it. You can't get, you used to be able to get, you know, food on the flight, and they would, you know, the service was lovely, and it was an enjoyable experience. Today, you pay for absolutely everything. You know, your pillows and blankets used to be on the planes. They're no longer there, and if you want one, if you're lucky enough to get one, you have to pay for it. You have to pay for a movie if you
Wouldn't this 13-member board be under the microscope and be scrutinized if they added any fee, or if any fee went up?
No.
You don't think there would be that scrutiny?
No. I think what we're looking at is a system like what we have today, which is the airlines are allowed to charge whatever they want. They are highly concentrated. So if they want to charge you $25 for a bag, they can. I think that we are. Looking at the exact same scheme where they control the costs, they control the fees, they control the taxes, and you no longer have the public scrutiny and the ability to bring them in and have answer questions or be answerable to the public, because it's going to be a private system. So if you don't like what we have now because of how the airlines handle consumer protections and the way they treat customers, et cetera, then you certainly will not be happy with a system where we privatize the air traffic control system.
Let's take another call now. Francisco in Sister Bay. Hello.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Ma'am, what we are talking about, and I'm glad that this lady is listening, because she can carry the message, that Calvin Coolidge said that the business of America is business. We are on a path to improving business profits, all at the expense of the public. Now, there are certain institutions in America that we must not delegate. Transportation is a non-delegable duty. Telephones, the airspace, look at all the billions of dollars people are making out of the cyberspace. The water tables, the minerals, the oil, that belongs to the public. and then we privatize it, and then we have this guy from BP making $5 billion a year. We have this nonsense. It's an under-level duty. When we government must not delegate to a private person the institution.
We understand, Francisco. Thank you so much, and you're breaking up a little bit. Sally, of course, he is siding with what you're saying exactly, that privatization would be a bad thing. The FAA would remain in control of safety under President Trump's plan. What do you think about that, pulling apart, taking out the air traffic control, and but keeping safety under the FAA?
Yeah, well, of course we need to keep safety under public control. But you know, a portion, yes, the FAA would continue to have authority in that area. But you know, when we're talking about the air traffic controls, that's a safety issue too, and we want that to remain in the hands of the public. I agree with your caller that there are certain things that we need to keep under the public eye and in public control, because we can't allow this to become a profit-making opportunity. This is too important to our national economy and too important to the safety of the flying public to allow a private entity to take over air traffic control. So I think it's a dangerous proposition, and I also think they haven't made the case that things are in such a state now that we need to change to a private system. I think in fact things are going very well, and we've had very little disruption. The disruptions and the cancellations, the disruptions, the delays are largely caused by airline manufactured issues, like not having crews there at the appropriate time, having mechanical malfunctions. As of 2003, the airlines and the public is required to publish information about what is causing airline delays. After that terrible tarmac delay, where people were sitting on the tarmac for 8 hours. That generated a requirement that we try to understand better what's causing the delays. And lo and behold, it's the airlines themselves that are causing the vast majority of delays because of the things that I just mentioned.
So you're saying air traffic controllers are a victim of other problems going on among the airlines themselves?
Exactly.
Okay,
and that's what we've learned from the data that's been generated after the 2003 law was passed. So the argument is, all of these delays are because we have this outmoded system. That is actually a misperception, and it's been corrected. And because we now understand that most of the delays are now caused by the airlines themselves, computer glitches have shut down several major airlines.
And we're going to stop you there, Sally. Sally Greenberg is with us. She heads up the National Consumer League. This is not the first time lawmakers have discussed overhauling air traffic control. A similar proposal stalled on the House floor last year. Many lawmakers are concerned about granting the power to collect fees to a non-governmental agency and worried about removing the system from congressional control. That would leave Congress with almost no way to hold operations accountable. Rural lawmakers fear small airports won't have a seat at the table. What do you think about a plan to privatize air traffic control? Are you an air traffic controller, or do you work in the airline industry? How do you feel about this plan? 800-642-1234. We'll be back after this news. There is common ground. America's air traffic control system and aviation infrastructure are in need of improvement, but how do you get to a better air travel system? billions of dollars in government and private contracts ride on the conversion of the nation's air traffic control system to satellite-based GPS technology. This federal upgrade program is known as NextGen. The aim is to boost the capacity of the U.S. aviation system to handle more planes, cut flight delays, and improve safety. But what happens to NextGen under a plan to privatize air traffic? Good morning. I'm Kate Archer-Kent in for Joy Cardine. Sally Greenberg stays with us. She's executive director of the National Consumers League and has been critical of such a move. You can add your voice at 800-642-1234. Where do you stand on air traffic control? What would you like to see? Would you like to see it taken away from the Federal Aviation Administration? What is your fix? Join in 800-642-1234. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sally, there was a similar proposal that last year that didn't get any traction on the House floor. Are we making too much of this proposal having any legs?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I think with President Trump getting behind it, and we've got a powerful member of the House Transportation and Infrastructure, actually the chair of the committee, being a very strong proponent, I think we would ignore this campaign at our peril. But we do have, interestingly, some bipartisan opposition to the idea of privatizing the air traffic control system. We've got senators from Mississippi, Republican senators from Mississippi. We've got Democrats from New York. So we've got sort of a rural and urban coalition who are very concerned with what the fate of smaller airports would be, and even some bigger airports under a privatized system. There is, you know, it seems to be gathering steam. There's certainly many millions of dollars that the airlines have put into a lobbying campaign. Not all the airlines are in sync on this. Delta Airlines is not supporting privatization, but the other major airlines are. And we're talking about American Airlines, United, Southwest. Those are the big four.
And so are the Koch brothers. They're putting money behind it. What do we make of that?
Right. So, well, you know, it tells you that it's all about earning, you know, maximum profits and being able to charge whatever whatever the traffic will bear until the public gets angry. I mean, we saw that the fees that are imposed by the airlines now, just I'm not talking about air traffic control, but just the nickel and diming of the flying public has been a source of a lot of anger, and the cost of flights in so many areas. I mean, the airlines claim that overall costs of flying has gone down, but there are other studies that show that in fact the cost of flying has gone up, especially problematic in areas where there's no competition. And that's a lot of the country where there's very little competition, so we've seen the cost of flights going up.
Let's take another call now. David in Appleton. Hi, David.
Well, morning, Kate and Susan, right?
Yeah, Sally.
Oh, Sally.
Sally's with us, huh? Sally Greenberg.
I appreciate this show, and I wish that she wouldn't hold her punches, because I actually see two even worse scenarios that haven't been raised. One is the civil defense, and that's that the air traffic controllers, if for America was attacked, hypothetically, the air traffic controllers would have some kind of civil defense training. And a private corporation wouldn't have that same motivation. They might decide to do a budget cut or any number of different, whether treason was afoot, and that corporation caused its employees to stand down while America was attacked. But the second scenario is smuggling. And if you just think back about Oliver North, one of the major aspects of his smuggling of cocaine was that the air traffic controllers knew that flights were coming in with one American, it wasn't America, I'll think of the airlines.
Yeah, and let's get Sally to...
Air traffic controllers were to refuse landing permits if they knew that a drug was... they knew a plane was loaded with drugs.
Yeah, and let's get Sally to respond to that safety question. America's safety on the line.
Sure. Yeah, those are two very interesting points. I mean, on the first one, the Department of Defense, I think I mentioned earlier, has expressed opposition to the idea of privatizing the air traffic control system for those very reasons. The command and control of the airspace is obviously a very, very serious security issue, and we don't want to turn that over to some private entity for whom profits are more important than protecting the public airspace. So that's the first issue. On the smuggling issue, yeah, I haven't thought about that. It's certainly a very valid concern and something that we want this to remain in the hands of a public entity that's accountable to the public for smuggling and for our national defense. All of those things suggest that this is a function that really should not be turned over to private concerns.
Well, David, thank you so much for raising those questions. Let's now go to Betsy in Madison. Hi, Betsy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I was listening to a program where a gentleman came on and said that they are already privatizing our air traffic control. They already have private contractors coming in. And he said that it's not so good in that you have less traffic control workers. They don't have to pay for the pensions and benefits, and it's all privatized. The public has no say, and I think that's what they're doing. They're trying to privatize our whole system and less government, and that's all I wanted to comment on.
Okay, Sally, is this part of a greater plan?
Well, you know, we do have many contractors who service the airlines, for example. You know, you'll see teams of people who come in and clean your plane.
Yep.
after you're deplaning. Those are often, as your caller rightly points out, those are often private firms. They are not part of the union does not hire. What the union does is they hire outside contractors, and then they don't have to provide specific wages or the kind of wages that we see the unionized or even non-unionized workforces of the airlines, who are pretty well compensated, decently compensated. And they don't get the benefits, and they don't get pension, and they don't get all those, the health care that come along with good jobs. So I think your caller makes a very good point, and we need public accountability for what is a very important function, and that is getting people from one city to another on the airlines.
Well,
so,
Betsy, yeah, thank you so much for your call.
Yeah, thank you, Betsy.
Yeah, and Sally, earlier this hour, we heard Senator Schumer say that plan to privatize air traffic control sounds like putting a fox in charge of the airline hen house. He said, quote, all of this would create real turbulence for consumers. Wondering whether you see, you've been around Capitol Hill quite a bit, do you see lawmakers slowing this down? And then what other legislation might be afoot?
Well, yes, there is a very robust debate going on. And I mentioned earlier that we've got rural senators who have expressed very serious concerns about privatization, because the airlines have proven themselves to be much more focused on profit than on customer service. The chances of this going forward, I would say, I don't really have I can't give you a very specific prediction. I know that, 6 months ago when I talked to someone who works with one of the smaller airlines, they said, the chances are very, very low that this is going to move forward. But I think with the president getting behind it and certain members of Congress in powerful positions, we need to have these debates. I mean, the very debate we're having now, we need to have those discussions. We can't pretend that this is not, on the radar screen of a lot of folks, particularly the airlines, who are spending many millions of dollars on this lobbying campaign. And Congressman Bud Schuster Minister, who is chairing the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, is the strongest proponent of all. He's been pushing this very, very hard. And you know, now we've got the president pushing this. So, you know, we don't know. Well, but I think it's important to lay all the facts out, let the public know what the pros and cons are. And these kinds of discussions we're having today are the very kinds of discussions I think the American public needs to be listening to.
Sally, what will you be watching next on this proposal and where it goes next? What will you be watching for? What are you keeping an eye on?
Well, you know, I think facts and information are really critically important here. We need to say, okay, what kind of job has the current regime provided for air traffic control? And I think it's been 88% of the public, by the way, not necessarily just people who fly, think the air traffic control system today is a very good one, and they don't want to change it. So we've got the public behind that. I think we're going to look for the bipartisan opposition, you know, Democrats and Republicans who are concerned about what happens when you have a private entity controlling air traffic control, and they're not answerable to Congress, and they can impose whatever fees and costs they want on the flying public. So those are the kinds of issues that we're going to be looking at and watching this bill as it moves through Congress. And we have a really interesting and even split, which is often not the case in Washington. You know, we usually have Democrats and Republicans lining up on either side of many issues. Mm. But in this case, we have very strong opponents of this plan from both the Republican and the Democratic side. And I think many rural areas have seen their access to air traffic diminish significantly. And when that happens, costs go up as well.
Well, let's leave it there. Yeah, thank you so much, Sally. We really appreciate it.
Oh, I've enjoyed it. You know, hello to everybody in your beautiful state.
Sally,
a lot of time in Wisconsin, and it's you know, the Wisconsin Dells. You can't be. There's nothing as fun as the Wisconsin Dells.
Sally Greenberg is executive director of the National Consumers League. Her column on air traffic control, "Don't Let Airlines Dupe Passengers," ran last week in USA Today. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Chris Molina. The executive producer is Michelle Johnson. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk with the author of the book, Cook Lively, 100 Quick and Easy Plant-Based Recipes for High-Energy Glowing Skin.